There are many things that can keep you and I out of the will of the Most High. Did you know that lack in self-care was one of them? I'm going to share a story with you about how you just see when we come back right after this. There are many things that can keep us out of the will of the Most High. Your girl was about to die. When I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Before we get into it, Peace Truth Tribe, if you are already a part of the tribe, be a Truth Tribe public or Truth Tribe private. If you are not already a part of the tribe, welcome. I'm Coach Zara, also a writer, author, and counselor, here to help you remember that love doesn't lie. Or expect you to live one. Why? Because we are not to be a fool for love. Nope. Love is wisdom, and that wisdom is so healing. So over here, let me take my glasses off until I get all the way started, and I need to see my notes for real, for real. So over here, we do not love toxic people the same way we do healthy people. If you agree with that, or you would like to get better at that, consider joining Truth Tribe for free, or, you know, we got some premium versions of stuff around here. You can visit ZaraHarrison.com/Truth Tribe Connect, or you can look in the description of this video for the link. Also, if you want to get alerts about when I'm going to go live, because my schedule changes often, please also look in the description to get the link and use my personal Telegram invitation, and then I will let you know, just like I let them know before this live. Hey y'all, I'm about to go live. Okay, so if you didn't hear what I said and you just came in, or you're watching the play, well, if you're watching the playback, you should have already seen the beginning. So if you just came in and you didn't hear what I said, you're gonna have to go back later, because I'm just gonna get into it because I got something to do. So I'm running around helping every and anybody that I can. I am helping, I was a teacher at this time in the public school system, and it could be really sad, the stories that some of these students tell you. Let me know if y'all can hear me, because my mic is finally up and working. This port is up and working again, at least for now. And I want to make sure that you can hear me. So can you let me know in the chat if you hear me okay? Is it too loud or is it too low? Is it just right? Let me know. I'm going to keep talking and then I'll check the chat to see what y'all are saying. My support should be in there. So please let me know too, if you can, if you're listening. I mean, you should be listening because you're working. So I was a teacher in a public school system, and a lot of the stories that these children share with you about what's going on in their homes can be really heartbreaking, devastating, in fact. And it's really hard. Thank y'all. Thank you, Rita and Ree Marie. Thank you. When you hear these stories, it can be really devastating and like heartbreaking. You go home and you bring in work with you because it just hurts. And so from the time I was like probably like 11 years old, I've been helping people. It's always just been in me. Sound is kind of low. I'll try to put it right here. It's just always been, I don't want to put it up too high. Okay. It's just always been a part of my nature, right? And so it can be really hard sometimes. Well, used to be really hard for me to separate help from home. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't bring that stuff home. Leave that where it's at because you could die. Like seriously, I'm not even joking about that. So, there were a few students who I would mentor outside of school, got in touch with their parents. I would take them, out to get their hair done, to, get little manicures for them to show them how to treat themselves. There were some students who would come to school and y'all, you their hair was like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it would break my heart. So I would ask their parent, can I take your daughter to go like get her hair done? Go get it washed, blow dry, all of that. Can I take your daughter to go just get like a manicure so she could just kind of feel better about herself? If I see people bullying her or picking on her because she smells or she don't have nice clothes or whatever. So that would hurt. So that's on my plate. I'm helping students in that way. Then I have a youth program for youth, and I'm working with youth in middle school with a program helping them learn how to become themselves and practice self-care and emotional wellness. I've been doing this for a very long time in different capacities. Then I had a group in my home as well where I was leading it. My husband was supporting me in it because at that time he was still kind of learning about certain things when it comes to emotional wellness. So I was leading the group, but he was a support system for me. So he stood like right by my side as I led those groups. But people are coming into our home. I'm having to make sure that I have enough food for everybody. I'm having to make sure the house is clean. I'm having to, and me, when I do groups in my home, it's not just snacks on the table. Like I'm cooking, and that can take hours. I'm doing gifts, sometimes like parting favors. So when they leave, there's like some kind of favor for them to take, whether it's like some kind of scripture. One time I did this thing with cupcakes and I put something in the middle that had to do with scripture. I can't even remember what it was, but stuff like that. So I'm being thoughtful. I'm being mindful. That's energy. I'm exhausting energy. Mind you, none of these things are things that people are paying for. It's me just doing this, right? And I didn't even have a lot of money at the time. I would take what was left over from my check, the little bit that was left over, and I would stretch that to help other people. There was a time where we would try to bag up sandwiches. So if we was out, we would give it to the homeless. I had it was it's just it was a lot of things that I was doing all at the same time. And I love to help people, but then I ended up in an emergency room about to have a nervous breakdown over it because I had a hard time saying no to people. I was learning how to do that. So sometimes I would hit the mark with that. Hold on. Excuse me, y'all. I forgot to put my charger on. I hope this doesn't turn it off because my computer been acting crazy since my daughter spilled water in my bag where my computer was. So that's not even the whole list, like on top of that, you're a mom, you need to give your children what they need. You're homeschooling and you're homeschooling three different levels and they have five to six subjects each. So what's that? Six times three, that's 18 subjects you're teaching. Then you are a wife and you're supporting a husband who has a platform and making sure that he has what he needs and, strategically supporting him in certain areas. And I was really spreading myself way too thin. One, because I was struggling with saying no Two, because I had been indoctrinated that we have to suffer to show the love of the Messiah. Like, if we're not suffering in life, then we're not doing something right. And so in being indoctrinated in that way, it made me feel like if I'm not like dog tired at the end of the day, if I'm not pushing beyond what I can do, and I'm not saying that there aren't seasons for that. There are seasons where you're really tired and you got to just push yourself just a little bit, right? But that shouldn't be a lifestyle. There shouldn't be a lifestyle. But because I have been taught in different, from different people, different areas, different churches, different relationships I was in, many people that had this mindset of the Messiah lived a life of suffering, you know, suffer for the greater good. And so I would put myself in harm's way. I would sabotage my own self because I thought that it was godly. I thought I was being like the Messiah and behaving this way until it caught up with me. And I ended up in the emergency room. Like, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. And the ER doctor is telling me, he takes my blood work and he's like, you know, I really don't know why you're here. All your blood work is fine. And I'm like, bruh, I'm not fine. Like, I'm not fine. Like, you don't come to the emergency room because you feel fine. He's like, ma'am, I'm looking at your blood work. I done checked all your vitals, everything. You're fine. I said, no, I'm not. And he's like, whatever is going on with you is not for the emergency room. And I'm like, what you trying to say? Like, what does that mean? What do you mean? Like, talk English to me, you know? And he's like, you know, ma'am, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I think you're seeing the wrong doctor. And that was a little embarrassing for me because I'm like, are you trying to say I'm crazy? Because this is before I understood self-care and emotional health and wellness to the degree that I understand it now. I had a little bit of understanding in it, but I hadn't gone to school yet to get my master's degree. I hadn't, or had I? I don't know. Or either I wasn't practicing it. I can't remember. Like, I had an understanding of it, but it was like, put it like this. You ever know something? You know, like, the knowledge of it, but you're not applying it in your life because you're around people who don't see it that way. I don't know if anybody understands what I'm talking about. Like, you know what you know for yourself, but you're around other people who are not seeing life in that way. And even though you know what you know, you're allowing the pressure, the people pleasing, to change your mind constantly. So you have a constant internal conflict. You have a constant combat within your own soul. Because you know what you know, you're trying to apply it, but the company that you're keeping, what does scripture say? Hang with the wise, you become wise, right? And sometimes we think, you know, if they're believers, then it's wise company. That's not true. Everybody around me was believers. Everybody believed in the Messiah. Everybody believed in the Most High, but not everybody believed in self-care. A lot of them believed in a life of suffering, and that if you don't live a life of suffering, if you don't, you know, put wisdom on the back burner to save other people, other things, to put things before you, you know, you're serving at a building in a location and you're burnt out. You know, I've been there. It was a lot. So nobody's really teaching me to take care of myself. I'm being more taught across the board from all different people that didn't even know each other that, you know, self-care is worldly. It shouldn't even be on the table. It's not, you know what I'm saying? So even though I knew a lot of what I had known and, always had this passion and this love for emotional health and wellness because of the things that I had been through and me seeing how it had helped me when I applied it. I couldn't really rock with people who said they loved the Most High, but didn't allow me to love myself. And it became, that even became trauma, emotional and spiritual trauma on me. Cause it's like, you're not loving hard enough. You're not walking like the Messiah enough. You know, are you serving this weekend and next weekend and the weekend after that? Oh, you didn't come to church today because you was tired and you needed to sleep? You are backsliding. You know, it was like, nobody's really checking on the care of my soul. Like, how are you emotionally, you know? And so when the doctor told me that, I understood what he meant, but I didn't understand. I'll say this. I understood what he meant, but I was having trouble accepting it. Because I'm like, I'm doing so much good work. I'm doing so many good things. Like so many, these youth out here living reckless are getting love, you know, of the Most High, shown through the acts that I'm doing. I'm helping couples. I'm helping my children. Like I'm doing all of this, you know, like bless me, y'all, because I'm doing all of this. And y'all was like, that's why you're in hospital. Because for one, you're not around the right company that will give you the wisdom of self-care and emotional wellness. You're around the company of suffer, and suffer long on top of that. You're around the company of what else can you do for me? You're around the company of not grateful. You're around the company of entitled. You're around the company of used to you saying yes. You're around the company of, I didn't even think to ask you if you needed help. You just cooked for everybody. You know, this is, and I can't blame these people because we are responsible for our own selves. I'm responsible to set boundaries that are appropriate so that I don't end up in an emergency room asking them, what do you mean I'm seeing the wrong doctor? And so I leave the emergency room and I'm like, he tripping. He don't know what he's talking about. You know, the medical system jacked up. They give you wrong diagnosis. You know, they ain't really out here trying to heal people naturally. You know, and some of this is true. You know, sometimes they'll take your blood work and what they consider normal may not be normal for you, but because they don't know your history, they don't take the time to investigate it. And oftentimes they're not supposed to. It's the emergency room, not less, you know, figure out and investigate what your root cause is, right? So I didn't really know what to do. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go and see an ear, nose, and throat doctor because I had this feeling in my throat like something was stuck in my throat. So I'm scared. I'm like, I go to the ER thinking I'm about to die. I feel like I can't breathe all the way right. I'm having heart palpitations. I have constant anxiety, but I'm helping a lot of people. I am not sleeping well. I can't really eat because I'm so stressed. So when I eat, I get full really fast because my digestive system ain't working properly. Because why? My nervous system ain't working properly. So what happens? It's choking up your digestive system so you can't even digest your food right. So I'm like, he's something wrong. I'm dying. He, you know. And so I'm not realizing it's lack of self-care. I'm not realizing that. I'm thinking something's really wrong with me. I must have some kind of disease, something. So let me check out the ear, nose, and throat doctor. So I go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And I'm like, can you please, you know, my doctor schedules me with the specialist. Because I'm telling her, she's like, Zara, I'm looking down your throat. Nothing's down your throat. I'm like, Dr. K, it's something down my throat. She's like, Zara, it's not down your throat. I'm like, somebody lying somewhere. Look down my throat. It's stuck in there. Every day is there. And she's like, Zara, it's nothing down your throat. I'm like, can you send me to a specialist? Because it might be cancer in my throat. I might have throat cancer. I'm having trouble swallowing. And she's like, Zara, it's nothing down your throat. I'm having trouble swallowing. Zara, it's nothing down your throat. I said, I'm having trouble swallowing. Now I'm looking on Google. Google telling me I'm about to die. Google telling me I got throat cancer. Google telling me I got all kinds of cancers, ovarian cancer, this cancer, all kinds of cancer. I'm putting my symptoms and it's telling me, oh yeah, you about to die, girl. You about to die. Not realizing the connection of self-care. But I'm helping a lot of people though. I'm helping a lot of people. They prosper. They doing well. So finally, my family doctor is like, okay, Zara, I will send you to a specialist so they can put this this thing with a light. It actually goes down your throat to go like look down your throat to make sure you don't have throat cancer. So I go to that appointment, and it was really scary. He shows me the tool. He explains everything. He puts it down my throat. He comes back up, and he's like, it's nothing there. And I'm like, y'all gotta be kidding me. Like, everywhere I go, y'all telling me it's nothing wrong with me. Y'all starting to make me feel like I'm crazy because I have all these symptoms. But everywhere I go, you're telling me my blood work is fine. You know, the EKG is okay. You just did this thing down my throat. You're saying everything is fine. So he you know, writes up his little report like that everything is okay. And he says, you know, ma'am, I'm going to share something with you that I think you should do. And he was like, my wife happens to be a therapist, and this is not my specialty, but I think the problem that you're feeling in your throat is connected to anxiety. And I'm like, nah, it's really like, see, when I swallow, I feel it. He was like, yeah, anxiety, severe anxiety can make you feel like you have a lump in your throat. And there is nothing there. And I was like, oh, I never knew that. I probably heard about it in the wind. But you know, you're taught everything is spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like all of that stuff about anxiety and depression and lumps in your throat and heart palpitations and nervous system. That's that worldly stuff. We pray we good. That's all we need is a prayer. All you need to do is go to church, girl. That's it. But I'm not really learning about self-care. And because of this, I'm running my body in the ground thinking I'm being like the Messiah who did practice self-care. At this time, I had even stopped keeping a Sabbath. I wasn't even keeping a Sabbath. And I was raised to keep the Sabbath, right? So I come home, I talk to my husband, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do. But the doctor, the specialist is telling me, you know, he's married to a therapist and his wife knows that these symptoms could actually, these emotional symptoms of anxiety and depression and, you know, nervousness because you're so tired, because you're not eating right, can show up physically, right? Again, I knew this, but I'm kind of, you kind of like so religious. You like, we don't get in all of that. Like, I hear that, but I'm gonna just go read my scripture and I'll be good. The word is my medicine. And this is all true, but we need to be balanced, right? Because if we live from a totally spiritual place and that's it, we are already living outside of the will of the Most High. Why? Because he did not just make us spirits only. He gave us emotions. He gave us mental abilities. He gave us spiritual abilities. He gave us these things. It was his, like I like to say all the time, y'all did that first. You know what I'm saying? Like, he made us multi-dimensional like this. He made us holistic like this. We are not just one dimensional. But if all you focus on is the one part, then you are off balance in every other area. But then some people are like, nah, if I focus on the spirit, it's going to fix everything else. Try that. How's that working for you? So, because that's what I was doing. It don't work. So you have to learn how to steward your temple, and your temple is more than just spirit. It is emotional. How are you managing your emotional health? It is mental. How are you handling your thoughts? You ain't got a sound mind. You not going to be acting like the Most High. You're probably scared of everything because I don't give you the spirit of fear. I give you what? A sound mind, power and love. How that sound mind connected to fear. When we ain't operating the sound, we scared of everything. We scared to say no to people. We scared to stop doing something because we tired and they dependent on me. I can't stop this. We scared to take off for the day because I don't want them to think I'm not responsible, but you need to go to the doctor. We scared to tell our children, at this time, mommy's done. Mommy's done today. Don't call my name after 9:30. It's silent time. You could send me a text, but you shouldn't even really be doing that. Go to bed, right? So we're so afraid to do things that we need to do to take care of our mental health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health. They're all important. They're all important. They're all important. They're all important. So when the doctor tells me this, I'm like, I guess I need to get it together and like sit my butt down, and everything I know, I need to apply it now. And the people in my company who don't nourish that part of me have to go. Cause I ain't got time to be dying out here. Cause then how am I completing the work that I'm assigned to if I'm dead? A nervous breakdown makes you feel like you really are about to die. And if you don't catch it and take care of it and nourish yourself back to health, you can die. It promotes disease. It promotes digestive problems. It promotes mental problems. Some people still won't believe me, so I want to show you something in 2 Kings. But before I show you something in 2 Kings, where you can see how easy it is to put yourself out of the will of the Most High because over lack of self-care. Yeah, you could put yourself out of the will of the Most High. How? From many things, but one of them, lack of self-care. I'm going to show you that in a minute, but before I forget, I want to thank a very, very special part of Truth Tribe, and that is Truth Tribe patrons who help me make free content, including videos, exercises, and resources, just like this live and a few other things. I truly appreciate your support, Truth Tribe patrons, and I'm sure those who benefit from your giving appreciate it too. If you are watching this and that is true for you, please show it by liking and sharing this video to help someone else who may need what we're talking about up in her. Okay? So let's look at this in 2 Kings. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. So 1 Kings 19:4 in the Amplified Version says, and we're talking about Elijah. And this is what Elijah asked. And Elijah asked Yah that he might die. That he might die. I'm gonna come back. He asked Yah that he might die. He said, what? It is enough. Now, oh Yah, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. He lay down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said, what? What'd the angel say? Did the angel say, get up and pray? Did the angel say, get up and go to church? Did the angel say, get up and go to your assembly meeting? Did the angel say, get up and read your Bible? These things are important depending on whether they're healthy in your life. But is that what the angel said? Because he has said, go ahead and I want to die. Go ahead and take my life because I had enough. I had enough. So what did the angel say? Get up and eat. You see that? Get up and eat. How many of us be so stressed, so depressed, we can't even eat? How many of us so busy, we forgot to eat? I know I've been that busy. I've been that busy. I look up at 4 o'clock and I ain't ate nothing but a cup of water, and that ain't food, and I ain't fasting. That's too busy. You too busy if you didn't realize you never ate. You too busy, right? So I don't know if y'all see the emotional distress in this, and you can go back and read the full story in 1 Kings and see what's going on. But he's making a request of Yah, Elijah the prophet, who Elijah, he doing some powerful works before this. Similar to what I was doing. I'm doing a lot of powerful works. I'm doing a lot. I'm helping a lot of people. But you get to a point when you doing for everybody else and you ain't taking care of yourself, where you burn out to the point of beyond burnout, which is called nervous breakdown. Nervous breakdown will make you ask y'all to you want to die. I don't know if anybody ever had a nervous breakdown out there or have been on the verge of a nervous breakdown, because I have. And it feels like you're already dying. And it feels so bad. You almost want to say what Elijah said. You almost want to say this right here. Ask y'all that he might die. It's enough. Take my life. That's a person that's not practicing self-care or emotional wellness. And I know that it has to do with self-care, because why? The angel told him what? He didn't tell him to repent. He didn't tell him to go somewhere and study harder. He said, get up and eat. Sometimes we're doing a lot of really good things. But if we're not on the list of the people that we're caring for, we're not really doing too good. And we need to really stop acting like we are, because we're not. Self-care is important. So if Elijah, if Yah had agreed to his request and had, you know, let him die, because he just had enough, because he not managing stuff right, to the point where the angel said, get up and eat, bruh. And I'm going to show you when the angel came back what the angel said a second time. Because some of y'all are like, that don't have nothing to do with self-care. Yes, it do. Hold on. Because y'all be trying me. Y'all be trying me. Y'all be trying me. Y'all be trying me. Y'all be trying me.
Self-care ain't biblical, Zara.
I'm like, my whole channel, like, ooh, bruh. Y'all hate yourself. Y'all want to suffer. Y'all, whew. I just, slave mentality, bruh. Slave mentality is, but anyway. So I'm gonna show you a second verse that reaffirms that this is about self-care. But how many of us in our life have been doing really good things? How many of us in our life have been doing things that we think are really good? They're really not, but we think they are. How many of us are so focused on religious or spiritual matters that our emotional health is on zero? Which really, your spiritual health ain't on high if your emotional health is on low. Because we see it right here in this one example. This is a prophet, bruh. He knows the Most High. So spiritually, how you high in your spirit and full in your spirit, but you asking y'all to take your life. And the angel got to touch you and say, get up and eat. So we see right here, it don't even work to be so full of the spiritual stuff, but you neglecting your emotional health and your self-care, like just like the practical things that matter in your temple. It can lead you to saying things like this. It can do that. So why are we saying that emotional health and self-care and emotional wellness don't matter? So you got to read the story, but it's like, it was, you know, he's calling down fire. He's doing like all these wonders and works he's performing on behalf of the Most High, right? But then he gets to this point. It's like, if you've done all of those things, then how could you now want y'all to take your life? You know? If I'm doing such a great work, and I'm really doing such a great work, then how am I going to Yah asking him to take my life? If I'm really full of Yah's spirit and I'm spiritually doing something out here, then how am I to decide asking Yah to take my life? Like, let me ask you, if you really so full of the spirit, if you really know the word, if you really have intimacy with Yah, why are you so depressed? If you really have intimacy with the Most High, if you really about this life and you about his word, why you have anxiety? Now, I know that trauma produces certain things, but the point that I'm making is that we have to be careful being so religious that we're neglecting our self-care. Because you don't know, y'all, if you're not taking care of yourself holistically. Because you see a powerful prophet in this predicament. Why? What the angel say? Get up and eat. When the last time you ate? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a small lesson that makes a huge difference in our lives. So we have to be careful being so religious, so, you know, focused, one-dimensional, that we don't realize we're inching our way to a nervous breakdown. We're doing good things. People's lives are impacted positively. Children doing good. Things are doing good. But you on the way to a nervous breakdown. Why? Because maybe you don't know how to say no. Because maybe you spend too many hours working. And at some point, the work got to stop. At some point, you have to stop. Your body has to stop and come down so you can get appropriate rest for the night. That's self-care. At some point, you got to be like, am I eating enough calories in the day? There was a point I wasn't even eating enough calories in the day, and I was getting sick from that because I'm so working, so doing so much. It's really sad, and it breaks my heart when I see people behave so religiously and they don't understand why they live such a toxic life. It's because you're off balance. You got to give some of that energy to yourself as well. You got to give some of that energy to the care and the nurturing of your soul as well. It can't all flow into one thing. You know what I'm saying? In addition to that, being around toxic people who are constantly draining you, or toxic people who are constantly taking, all they do is withdraw from you. People get the example of a bank account. If all you did was take money out of your bank account and you never put money in, you're going to be in a negative, right? You're going to be in a deficit, the red. They're going to close your account. You ain't got no money, right? You have to steward it well by making sure withdrawals go in there as well. You are like a bank account. If everything is going out and nothing is coming in, you're going to be in the red and your body going to shut itself down. But you spiritual though, but you know Yah though, but you was in your Bible though, but you would, if you really know Yah, you know that he wants you to love and care for your soul. You don't really know him if you struggle with that. Why? Because some toxic person that made you believe that you're selfish or you're self-centered for honoring your temple. You're supposed to honor this temple. You're supposed to respect it. It was given to us on borrowed time, essentially. And it's your job to make sure that it's taken care of appropriately because your spirit is carrying it. I mean, your body is carrying your spirit. Your physical body holds your spirit inside of it, right? So if you don't take care of this, where's you going? Where's you going spiritually? Right outside of the Most High's will. Sitting up here like Elijah talking about asking y'all that he might die. It is enough. Like, I'm so tired. It is enough. Fast forward to verse 7 and 8. This is the second thing, the second time that the angel was saying something to Elijah. Then the angel of Yah came again a second time and touched him and said, what did he say? Get up and eat, for the journey is too long for you without adequate sustenance. So he got up and ate and drank, and with the strength of that food, he traveled 40 days and nights. And it goes on. And some people be like, my word is the Bible. My food is the Bible. I don't need to make sure I eat. You too religious, bruh. You too religious, because we know here in Ephesians 5:29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Most High does to his assembly. He nourishes and he cherishes us. And we know in Proverbs 19:8 that I keep sharing with y'all, it's wisdom and good sense to love and preserve your own soul. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading scripture. I'm sharing you with a scripture right now. But what I'm saying to you, how off balance is your life? Are you giving, are you balancing your energy and like where your energy is going with self-care as well? Because you see the angel talking to Elijah, not once, but twice, about self-care. Get up, eat. He was even sleeping at the tree. Like when we look at this one, it says here, he laid down and slept under the juniper tree. That sounds like he was exhausted. That sounds like you probably wasn't getting no rest, bro. You laid down and fell asleep because you that emotionally exhausted. That emotional exhaustion ain't no joke. How many of y'all know depression make you sleepy? People call you lazy, but no, you depressed. How many know anxiety? Nerves just running constantly all day. What is this going to be? What is this going to happen? Oh my gosh. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. What I'm going to do with this. We're going to die. Is the Lord coming tonight? If all day you doing that to your soul, of course you tired. Of course you tired. But see, if we're not managing that every day and we're not keeping up on that, before we know it, like we about to have a breakdown. And we're making requests of the Most High that will put us out of his will if he were to answer it. So I want us to pay attention to the fact that self-care and spiritual health is definitely connected, like I say all the time. But what I'm running into so much over here on this channel is people that are so religiously minded that they lack appropriate self-care and keeping themselves around healthy company. They lack appropriate self-care and journaling, getting their feelings out. It's tight. It's just suppressed. It's been in there for years. I'm about to bust. And then when you blow up on somebody, you don't understand where that came from. Cause you don't ever get your feelings out. You always hold them in. I don't need to journal. That's worldly. Okay. They know a lot of scripture. They know a lot of word. People I'm running into know the Bible, be in Bible studies for 2 and 3 hours, but won't spend an hour on yourself to go give yourself a walk, get some fresh air, maybe get yourself a pedicure. You know, if it's a financial issue going on, maybe go to the park. That don't cost you no money to go to the park. They don't cost you no money to go out in your backyard and just, you know, sit in the grass, look at the sky, journal while you out back, sit in the sun, just get some sun on your face. You won't spend an hour on that because that I ain't got time for that. And then you wonder how you can possibly end up on the verge of a nervous breakdown, or like me going to these doctors and they're telling me like physiologically, by blood test, like nothing wrong with you. It was my nervous system. My nervous system was shot. Shot. I'm around unhealthy people trying to love them the wrong way. I'm trying to love enemies the wrong way. Because what people don't understand about loving your enemies, it doesn't mean doing what your enemy wants you to do. That would be foolish, right? Because if they're an enemy, you know, they got some wickedness going on. So you're not supposed to take counsel from the wicked. So that wouldn't be right, right? No. Loving your enemies means telling the truth. That's the greatest love you could ever have for somebody, is telling them the truth. The greatest love you can have with somebody who's in their sin and won't repent is setting a boundary with them, because this could bring them to repentance. That is a great love. Why do we think loving our enemies means laying down on the floor and letting them abuse us? That's not love. But you have all these mindsets, you swear you're doing something spiritual, and the whole time you're destroying the soul of your temple. And this gets you out of the will of Yah, because you're too tired to do it. You're too exhausted to do it. You're too depressed to do it. You're too anxious to do it. So I want to ask you today to later on take some time and just maybe make a circle. Put the little lines in a circle of all the life areas you have. You probably got your spiritual on point. a lot of people over here on this channel, they got their spiritual, they Bible time is the majority of people, that's high. But they self-care, that's low. You need to equally distribute it in that circle. Or if everything can't be equal, you need to balance it a little bit better. You know? And when I say life area, I'm not necessarily talking about like work, children, this. I'm talking about like your soul, mind, body, soul, spirit, emotions. I'm talking about that, like just you. See, you all again, think about everybody else. I'm talking about just you. Do your little circle. I wish I had a dry erase board. Do your little circle. Put your mind, your body, also all of that. And then how much are you giving each thing? Because y'all made you whole. So why you not living like that? All right, I'm about to get out of here. Let me take some comments. Let me read some comments. And then I will get out of here. Peace, Re Marie. I know that too well. Me too. Me too. We got to stay on track. Peace, Kanisha. Kayeem Rogers. I am just 16 and been through a lot. Think about what are some small things I could do for my temple, for my how I'm thinking, what I'm doing with my emotions. It's stuff all over my channel. What can I do to just start nurturing myself back to health? Because I'm a whole being. I'm not just one dimensional. I'm not just one thing. Peace, Re Marie. We aren't him. We can't save all these people. That's what I had to learn. No matter how much it grieves our spirit to see them hurt, that is his job. You know, it's called a savior complex. Why are we out here trying to save everybody? Trying to be a savior when we already got one and he already did his job. He can do for them what he did for us. Because many of us, nobody was there to do for us what we would do for them. And y'all still did it, right? So why are we trying to be for them what only y'all probably needs to be? Because a lot of people, they don't learn no other way. Breaking our soul down, depressing ourselves, giving ourselves anxiety. Out of the will of the Most High. Because we focused on something that is not our job. Care for yourself that much. Care for your own soul that much. But we won't. Yes, Precious Kawaramba. I hope I'm saying your name right. Is agreeing with Re Marie. Yeah. What, Kanisha? Oh, hold on. Let me read. Lady Prosperity. I can be grown and honest about it. My self-care is low. The first step is confession, admitting. That's the first step. That's awesome to just be real about that. Some of us might need to cry about that. Like, yo, I done treated myself real bad. Why do I do that to myself? Like, what happened in my life that makes me think that I'm allowed to treat myself bad like this? Like, why is this okay with me? Like, let's get these priorities together. So yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, I get it now. Kanisha, I'm sorry your light of Yah is attracting religious mosquitoes. Keep your menorah lit with candela oil. What I was talking about, people coming at me saying all this stuff, the religious stuff about self-care and stuff. Yeah. Peace, Coach Zara. Peace. I hope that this has helped you. You know, I really do get a lot of people. I won't say a lot. I get more than enough people who are constantly, they're just so religiously minded. They are temple neglecting. Like you so in the clouds with it. Like everything is so religious that you don't realize how far you actually are from the Most High, that you won't even take care of the first thing that he gave you to take care of, which is you. Like you, like your body, making sure you're eating properly, making sure you're exercising, maybe making sure you're keeping your body moving, making sure, you know, I started recently stretching again because my body getting a little up there. I was like, well, I used to be able to do that stretch. My daughter do it. I can't do it. So I've been stretching again. Like, ooh, my muscles is too tight. I walk a lot, but stretching your body if you need to, if your muscles is that tight. Drinking water, eating fruit, eating vegetables, supplements you might need because maybe you're deficient. Go get a blood test and see where you're deficient, you know, as far as your food and stuff is concerning your vitamins and minerals. Setting boundaries with toxic people who are draining the life out of you and causing you to feel depressed and anxious. Finding healthy emotional support. Speaking of that, we got a Truth Tribe Connect membership, which holds you accountable in self-care. It's self-care partners waiting for those who are equally yoked and have the right mind for that group. Everybody is not able to fit in that group right now, but try and see, and we'll let you know, you know? But finding you some emotional support. Get around other like-minded people who are doing things. Maybe they take nature walks. Maybe you take swimming lessons. Maybe you take an exercise class. You know, do something for the care of you and your soul. Instead of depleting it, and all it is withdrawals that come out. You're going to end up in the red and the negative, and then the account going to be closed. And I don't want that to happen to you. So, yeah. I'm going to keep going as long as I can. I'm like, yeah, you got to give me strength because I can't with these religious people. Like, I can't with these people that are so religiously minded. They can't see something so simple. And some of it is like, if they can't see, they're not supposed to. So I got to balance that. But I'm just sharing my own personal self-care with y'all. It's, you know, one of the areas where I have to manage my self-care is the opinion of men. Constantly coming against what I know I'm called to share with people about emotional wellness, and that emotional wellness really can't be achieved without self-care. And then it's connected to your spirit. As we see, this prophet up in here can't even perform his job no more spiritually, a spiritual job, because of the neglect on the self-care. The angel said, get up and eat twice. And he like knocked out by the tree sleep. And then, you know, sometimes people also don't get, it's not always so spiritual. It's so many people in the Bible who weren't like, you know, pastors or preachers or teachers or something. They had a spiritual gift, and wherever they went, their gift went. Like I do. People are like, what is this, a ministry? It's not a ministry. I'm telling you about emotional health and I love y'all. Why didn't you say, you know, why didn't we call what Joseph did a ministry? He's working for the Pharaoh. Y'all use his gift of dreams and interpretation wherever he went, from the prison cell to working for Pharaoh. Was he working at a church or was it a ministry? No, it's a gift that the Most High gave him that went wherever he went. I'm like, why do y'all not understand that? Like, my gift go wherever I go. My gift is in whatever I do. Like, oh. And so part of my self-care is like, detoxing from certain comments that are seeds planted to get me to give up, that are seeds planted to frustrate me to the point of lack of peace, you know? So sometimes I share it just so I can vent a little bit. Other times I have to do stuff, you know, outside of here to just get my mind back right. Cause y'all know what it's like. If you're in your life, say you have to set a boundary with somebody, all of a sudden you wicked and you mean and you bougie and you doing too much and it's all your fault. And they say all these things about you. And if you're not setting aside time to be around the right emotional support, if you're not setting aside time to care for yourself, when people dump on you all these lies about yourself because you're trying to do a healthy thing for you, if you just let that go and fester, you'll find yourself having anxiety, having depression, about to be out of the will of the Most High, because all you're doing is focusing on what all these people have said about you. So it's not just me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Put yourself in my shoes. It's not just me with this platform and the things that people say and come at and the emails and all this crap. It's you too. You trying to be healthy, set boundaries, get it together, and here they go. Calling you all kind of names. Constantly. The thing about it with you is you could probably separate yourself. I gotta keep coming up here at least once a week if I can. So it's like I have to keep dealing with it. And as things grow, it just increases. And that's hard sometimes. That's really hard sometimes. If you think it's hard for you, imagine still having to be in the company of those people who are draining you, and you had to keep showing up to do what you're trying to do healthily and deal with that. So, but I'm pretty strong in my self-care, you know. And thankfully, I'm at a place where, you know, I know how to say no pretty well. I know how to be like, I need to sit down, or I need to stop. Then they can think whatever they need to think, but I have to stop. You know, I'm thankfully, because of y'all, I've gotten there where I can do those things and be misunderstood. If people see it however they want to see it, that's just how they see it. But I'm taking care of myself. Not in a selfish way, just in a wise way with wisdom. All right. Reba Ree, when you telling us the secret though? Soon. Soon and very soon. Soon. Alexia, catching the end, but we appreciate you, coach. Thank you, Alexia. Make sure you go back and check the beginning out. All right, y'all. I hope that this live was helpful to you. If it was, please like it and share this video. And leave a comment if you're watching the playback, or if you're watching the live, leave a comment and let me know, what was your takeaway? Like, what did you get from this video? How has it helped you? I would really love to know that. All right, y'all. If you are new to Truth Tribe and you got good energy and you know how to respect boundaries, I hope that I see you again. And it's nice that you came, you came around. If you're not new, but you've been riding with us, peace. I'm so happy to see you, and I'll see y'all next time, Truth Tribe.
They always told me love's supposed to suffer long. I looked it up in the lexicon and say that suffering actually means the act of being patient. Have I been patient with you? And who is to decide when long is long enough? And what do I do when I feel I've had enough? Is suffering the tolerance of every behavior?